want to talk a little bit about this today because we've been talking about the love of God. And we're going to pick this up again today. And did you notice that the thing that she said, and I've seen other videos from other people, and they're basically saying the same thing. The love that they felt at that point by God, by Jesus, was beyond anything human words can comprehend. Now, I wanted to share that with you because we're talking about the love of God. Now, one of the things I mentioned last week, and I think the week before, was, and I've done some series in the last maybe 30 years on the love, on love and so forth, and I've heard a lot of sermons on love, but it was most of the time it was from the standpoint of us walking in love, you know, treating other people right and so forth, and that's important. That's really important. But that's not the area that I felt led to go into on this particular series, and I want to talk about how much God loves us. And so we've been talking about that, and I really encourage you to pick up the CD if you haven't already, because this is the most powerful revelation that anybody could ever have, is understanding how much God himself loves you personally. It'll radically change your life. It'll radically change the way you think and the way you see things. Amen? And it's a wonderful thing. Now, in John chapter 13, if you go over there to John chapter 13, I want to review a little bit here, and we'll pick it up again today. But in John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35, the scripture says, now this is Jesus talking here. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready to receive from him? Amen. It says, "A new commandment that I give unto you," the Lord says, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Then verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by the love that you have one towards another." Amen. If there's ever been a legacy that we want to leave for other people to see, it should be they walk in the divine love of God. Amen. I don't want to be known for my faith. I don't want to be known for anything other than love. Amen. Jesus said that love would be the distinguishing mark of every believer. He says, everybody's going to know that you're my disciples by the love that you have one towards another. Praise God. You know, there's an unhealthy competition. And have you ever, maybe you were like that, or you met somebody like this where you're very competitive. Anybody ever met somebody like that? Very competitive. All right? And that can be good to a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it can be unhealthy, right? Then I tell you, there's one thing that we can do to try to outdo each other, and that is try to outlove one another. Amen. Hallelujah. The Apostle John, he was on the Isle of Patmos. This is in his latter days. He was in his 90s. He's the only apostle that died a natural death of old age. Okay? But he had a revelation of love that none of the other apostles had. In fact, he referred to himself four different times as the apostle whom Jesus loved. Does that mean he didn't love Peter and James and John and the other guys? No, he loved them all. But John, you'll see, you know, at the Last Supper, you'll see John up against Jesus, close to him, because he was affectionate towards him. He loved him. And it wasn't an impure. Okay, you know, some people are. Do I need to go there? It was pure. Amen? Praise the Lord. You have to say that nowadays. Amen? Hallelujah. Unfortunately, you do. But it was a pure love. And he said, he referred to himself as the apostle whom Jesus loved. Amen? He had a revelation of the love of God. But in his latter days, people would come to him. And the thing that he would keep preaching over and over, Rick Renner brings this out, you know, in his book. He said, all he kept saying is, he says, "Beloved, children of God, love one another." He said, "Love one another." He kept emphasizing that. He said, that's the thing that's going to stand in the end. Hallelujah. Everything else will crumble. It says in Corinthians, he said, prophecies will fail. This will fail. That will fail. But love never fails. Love never fails. Praise God. Well, notice it says that in verse 34, a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another. Now here's the phrase I want you to underline: as I have loved you. Okay? Say, as I have loved you. Now we've been really focusing on this the last couple weeks, and we're going to get right back into it again today. You cannot love other people, or let me say it like this: you can only love people to the degree that you are loved by God, or understand how much He loves you. Because He says, love one another even as I have loved you. And you know, this world that we live in right now is love starved, love hungry. And the people that are, there's so many people that are around us all the time. You know, there's no shortage of people. And they're crying out on the inside. They're looking for love, but they're looking in all the wrong places. They're looking in physical relationships, they're looking in money, and they're looking in this, but that's just going to fill an empty void. That can't fill what I mean. The only thing that can fill that void is God's love. Hallelujah. But notice it says you're to love one another even as I have loved you. So you can't really love one another until you know how much God loves you, right? And that's what we're focusing on. Go real quick to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And I want you to see this. If you want to see miracles flow out of your hands, out of your life, you want to know? Function in the love of God. Jesus was moved with compassion. You see this throughout the four Gospels, where Jesus was moved with compassion. And every time that He was moved with compassion, miracles took place. Provision took place. Healing took place. Jesus was moved with compassion and healed their sick. Hallelujah. Compassion is love in action. Amen. It's a welling up on the inside. Have you ever felt that before? Just a welling up on the inside of just it's love. Like Paul says, he said, the love of Christ overmasters me. Hallelujah. It just overtakes you towards people. Thank you, Lord. But notice here in Ephesians, it says, chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives. That's the word agape. Amen. Praise God. I was in a church one time when I was a teenager, and this one kid, he was my age actually, you know, he just had a revelation of wives, submit to your husbands. And he was a character, you know, and he would always love, you know, wives, you got to submit, you know, submit. You ever hear that before? Wives, submit to your husbands. Now that is a verse. And all the men said, okay. Well, that's only part of it. Now, you know, people interpret that like, you know, you get a bullwhip out and you tell that woman what to do, and if she don't do it, you know. And now there are some people that believe that. It's crazy. But it says, love, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So how can you love your wife or your spouse if you don't know how much God loved you first? You get my point here? Actually, a woman doesn't have any problem submitting. And all the women said? A woman doesn't have any problem submitting when they are divinely loved. Because when the husband loves them as Christ loved the church, there won't be any problem. It'll be a natural order. It'll be a natural thing to submit. I don't know. It's not a problem submitting to God, because if I know He loves me, my God, I mean, if He tells me to do something, it's only for my benefit. He's not doing and telling me something to put me in bondage. He's trying to get something to me. Amen? And so this is what we're talking about, love from the perspective of God loving us before we go out and love other people. Praise God. And so we talked about some revelations. Point number one, if you're taking notes on your bulletin, there's a place on the back there if you want to take notes, and I encourage you to do that. Okay? Here's the first revelation that we looked at regarding God's love towards us. Number one, there is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing in the flesh that you can do. There's no deed that you can perform. There's no action that you can take that will make God decide to love you more. It won't happen. He loves you the same. In fact, look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. We saw this the last couple of weeks here, but it says in Romans 5, 8, it says, but God commendeth or demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while I was a sinner, while I wasn't serving God, while I was blaspheming God's name, God loved me and he died for me. Now, that obviously has nothing to do with something that was on my part that I did first. Okay? Because God made it, but God is love, first of all. He doesn't have love, he is love. Okay? He is divine love. When you come in the presence of God, you literally come in the presence of divine love. Hallelujah. That's the thing that keeps pulling me back and keeps drawing me back into God's presence as I realize how much he loves me. In spite of my deficiencies and so forth. Because in the flesh, we're not perfect. How many of you know that? In the flesh, in the natural, we all have faults and failures, don't we? Even if we're saved. Idiosyncrasies. You know? And yet, in spite of that, God just says, I love you unconditionally. That's what that girl was talking about in that video. It's the love. And you can see the transformation in her life because of that love, right? Well, God demonstrates his love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and he died for us. So the first thing that we have to realize is this. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. He loves you eternally. Amen? Now, Brother Kenneth Copeland said something, and I think this is it may be a little bit different wordedly, but I remember the essence of what he was saying here. If somebody knows differently, let me know. Okay? But he said this. The Lord spoke to him and says, I chose Israel because I love them. He says, but I chose America because they love me. Amen? And that the Lord was talking about our country and so forth, that the Lord chose America because we, the people, our forefathers that started this country were believers. They weren't heathens, they were believers. And they came here for religious freedom, praise God. And while I'm in it, I'll put a plug into this election. I'm not telling you who to vote for. But if you're not registered to vote, get out there, get your name in there, get registered to vote, and you vote Bible. You hear me? You vote Bible. Whoever stands up for the Bible the most, that's who you vote for. There's no perfect candidate, but you vote for someone that supports the Bible. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I chose Israel because, God says, because I love them, but I chose America because they loved me. And God raised up. We're living in a country right now. It's the only country that you can go to that's a melting pot of people from every ethnic background. Amen? If you go to Italy, you're going to find Italians, right? For the most part. If you go to Sweden, you're going to find mostly Swedish people. You go to Mexico, you find Mexicos. Right? But when you come to America, you got people from every race and every background. Praise God, that's a picture of heaven. Amen? You know what a beautiful picture of heaven it is? Is people from every race and every background. Amen? And that's the way it ought to be in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's the most beautiful picture of heaven. So God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. So let's establish this fact. There's nothing I can do to make God love me more. That just lifts a burden off of me. Praise the Lord. Amen? It's kind of like, you know, you've seen that thing. I don't know what they call it here, but, you know, she loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. Pulling the petals off a flower, you know. And you, daisies, yeah. You don't do that with God. He doesn't say, I love you. I don't love you today. He said, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Does that make sense? Now let's go to 1 John real quick. 1 John chapter 4 again. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. And I want to give you these bullet points here. Number one, there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. Okay? He loves you with an eternal love. an everlasting love that will revolutionize and change your life. Actually, it's the most powerful thing in the universe. People talk about political power. They talk about atomic power, education. Okay, if you ask the average person, what's the most powerful thing in the universe? You'll get different answers. But we know that it's God, and God is love. But in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
How many believe that? Raise your hand. All right. He says, verse 16 says, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us or towards us, that God is love. See that? God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Now that's interesting that we can have, as believers, we can have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Folks, when you came to Jesus Christ and you asked him to come into your life, I'm telling you, he completely annihilated your past, everything you have ever done, any sin that you've ever committed. He completely wiped that out. And he put his love on the inside of you. He put his spirit on the inside of you. And the Bible says your body became the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now notice in verse 16, John says, we've known and believed the love that God hath to us or towards us. Okay? Now you can know about God's love but not believe in it. Isn't that true? You can tell some people some things. Did you hear about so-and-so? I hear it. Yeah, I understand it, but I don't believe it. Well, you know, people can hear about God's love. You can be sitting in church even today and hear about God's love and make a choice. Nobody's going to do that in here. To not believe in the love of God. You know about the love of God, but we have to make a choice to believe in the love of God. And so verse 18 is a culmination of all that we just read right here. It says this, there is no fear in love. Amen? There's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now we said this, that a lot of times we read this from the standpoint of is if we walk in love, you know, there's no torment and so forth. Perfect love casteth out fear. In other words, us walking in love. That's not what that's talking about there. This is talking about God's love for us, because it says in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. All right? So here's the second thing, the second bullet point that we want to bring out here is this. When you understand how much God loves you, you are secure from all fear and torment. You are secure from all fear and torment. Amen?
Amen.
When I was just a little guy, my mom's here today. Raise your hand, Mom. All right, for Mom. Amen.
Yay.
Hallelujah. I had a really weird demonic thing happen. I was probably five or six years old when this happened. And we lived in this, we rented this house that we were in. I was just a little kid. My sister was a baby. She still is. But she's not here today to defend herself. I heard a noise, and I was in my bed, and it startled me. And I looked up, and I looked on the my dresser was at the foot of my bed, and on the top of this dresser, I'm not dreaming, I'm awake, okay? This is not a dream or nightmare, I'm actually awake. I saw a little monkey-like creature about this big. It was a demon spirit, the ugliest looking thing I've ever, it looked like the body of a monkey's, okay? But it had this vicious looking thing. I mean, eyes, just evil eyes and stuff like this. And as a little kid, scared the living tar out of me. Okay? Because, I mean, I'd never heard of this kind of stuff before. And I'm like, what is... And I'm freaking out. But here's the thing. My mother and my father, and right when that happened, they were walking up the steps to retire for the night, to go to bed that night, because their bedroom was next to where I was. They're walking up the steps, and I took off running, man. I'm telling you, man, I remember it. These kind of things make a mark on you. You never forget, you know. And so, I mean, I'm telling you, I would have won a race if I was in a race. I took off, and I ran, and I remember diving into them, okay. And just was crying, and I was upset, you know. But just their presence alone, my mother and my father, them being there, wiped out fear. It just eliminated fear because I know that they were close. My parents were there. And I think I spent the night with them. Move over, Mom and Dad. I'm coming in, man. That happened to Josh about a week ago, you know. And Kelly had to comfort him. I'm just kidding. Yeah, he's going to get back at me. I know it. But perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. Because fear has torment. Actually, the absence of God is fear. And when the Lord's there, when you know, my parents' presence, their physical presence, brought comfort to me at that moment. Now, that never happened again. Okay? But praise the Lord. And if it ever does happen to you, you just say, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. You don't belong in this place right now. Right. Amen. Because you know, demons and evil spirits, they're in this earth. They're real. Okay? But as a believer, you have authority over those things. And I will say this. Don't go out there and start watching some horror flick. Don't go to some R-rated movie and something like that and watch stuff that's going to put fear in you. You know, there's people that thrive, even believers that thrive on that stuff. Like, I like to see stuff that just scares me, puts me on the edge of my seat. You're going to get a spirit of fear if you keep doing that. I have to say that as a pastor sometimes. You don't have any business watching stuff that's going to put a spirit of fear on the inside of you. Amen? Oh, that's all I'm going to say about that. But it's the truth. You don't have any business doing that. And if you've done it, just ask the Lord, forgive me, Lord, for watching that stuff, that junk, that trash. I don't want to watch that anymore. I'm not going to put any more fear on the inside of me. Well, it's just cool, Brother Keith. Everybody's doing it. I don't care. Now, if you want to live in torment, you want to live in fear, then go ahead and do that. Okay? Praise the Lord. Do you believe that? I want to see stuff that's going to build me up. I want to watch stuff that's going to build me up and so forth. So number two, that when we understand the love of God, it's a protection, it's a security from fear and from torment. Perfect love cast out fear. Or I'd say it like this, an understanding of how much God loves you will eliminate fear, because if I understand God loves me, He's going to take care of me. Hey, if something happens, some unexpected bad news comes to me, I don't have to worry about it because I know my Father is going to take care of me. The Bible talks about sudden fear. You know how things can come. A phone call could come in. Something can happen. You know. And bad news can come in different forms, different fashions. But sometimes when bad news comes, you know, it's you get fear that comes against you, right? But wait a minute. When you know that the Father loves you unconditionally, He's going to take care of you. Amen? Amen. Do you know I'm not my own provider? That takes a lot of pressure off me. Amen. And we have to get to the point where we say, God, I don't care what kind of a job we have. God, You are our source. You are our provider. You're going to take care of me. Amen. And even if you're being persecuted or whatever the case may be, God is going to vindicate you. He's going to take care of you. Praise the Lord. So this is security. When we understand God's love for us, it's security from all fear and torment. Knowing God's love eliminates fear, because we believe God will take care of us. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's go over to the Gospel of John in the New Living Translation, John 17 and verse 23. John 17, 23. And here's the third bullet point that I want to bring out today. Now that we've seen these, but I want to show it to you again, is this. That God loves me and you as much as he loves Jesus. Not less, but equally. And it says in John 17, 23, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer right before he went to the cross. And he said this, I am in them and you are in me. And may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love. Notice that Jesus said that you love them as much as you love me. Amen. Say, Jesus
loves me.
God loves me
as much,
equally,
as
he loves Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's a powerful revelation, isn't it? Remember when Brother Ken Copeland brought this up way back in the 70s, and I heard this, I thought, oh my God, where have I been? I haven't seen this. That God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Because I always thought it was on a shade level, you know what I mean, like 50%. Right? 40%. But see, God loves me as equally as much as he loves Jesus. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, I think verse 7, it says that we are accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in the Beloved. When you stand before Jesus Christ, you will experience total love and total acceptance because he sees you. God sees you through the blood of Jesus, which he sees you in the Son. Hallelujah. Isn't that liberating to know that? Praise God. Anytime I've had the opportunity through the years, you know, when someone's being really tormented, and from time to time, we all face different tests and trials. Some are more severe than others, you know, and people just need comforted sometimes, you know. But I think the most important thing that we can do for people is just because most people out there, they don't see God with these eyes, but they can see you. Amen? There's a saying that says this, the only Jesus that some people will see is the Jesus that lives in you and me.
Amen.
Amen? Because we have a body, we have a flesh, and we can operate in this earth. Yes, Jesus is real. God is real. But God says, I'm going to live and make my abode. I'm going to make my home on the inside of believers.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God chooses to do this. He chooses to walk through us, to talk through us, to see through our eyes, to talk through our mouth. Amen. And our actions so that we can love, aggressively love other people. Amen. And when people know that they're loved, that brings great comfort and peace to them. Because I've talked to people in the midnight hour at the worst possible time in their lives. And I've experienced this at different times in my life as well. Okay? When you get really bad news and stuff like that. Okay? But when you understand that the Father is near. I mean, Psalm 23. Do you know we're living in the 23rd Psalm right now? Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd in John 10. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He says, yea, though I walk, notice this, through the valley of the shadow of death. Like one guy said, you know, the shadow of a dog never bit anybody. Okay? You can be in the shadows of, you're right there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me.
Amen.
Say, God's with me. He says, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. That's symbolic of the word and the spirit. Thy rod and thy staff, thy spirit and thy word, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So that's not heaven, that's on this earth. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Amen. Praise God. We're living in that 23rd Psalm right now. If you're a Christian, Jesus is your shepherd. You shall not want. Amen. You shall not fear. And though you may be so close, like Psalm 91 says, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Well, that's pretty close. 1,000 one side and 10,000 at your right hand. He said, they'll fall, but it won't come near you. Right? And if there's any, there's a couple of Psalms, there's three in particular that I really stand on, and I pray these over everybody in this church on a daily basis. I pray Psalm 23, Psalm 91, and Psalm 103. Then I go to Isaiah 54, verse 13 on. Okay? But I speak that because I'm praying. When you pray the Word, that's the most effective way that you can pray. Did you know that? Praying the Word. When you pray the Word, you're praying the most perfect will of God. So you can say, Lord, I claim Psalm 23 today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie. I've done it thousands and thousands of times. Amen. But you can also pray that for other people as well. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of me. No fear, no want. Yes, but Brother Keith, I'm looking for some man to take care of me. I'm looking for this woman to take care of me. Listen, God is our source, and He wants to take care of us. People make a poor substitute for God. Okay? The only reason that I would get really mad at somebody is because I think they're my source. I'm not just talking money. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking like in any way, emotionally. Sometimes we look for people to give us something that they can't give us. Affirmation. Okay? And sometimes that doesn't come. You can be disappointed. Have you ever had that happen to you before? You know, you expect things out of folks and it doesn't come that way and you get disappointed. That's happened to all of us. Okay? But if we look to our affirmation to come from the Lord, I'll give you an example. Here's Jesus being water baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. Okay? This is a really interesting scene. Because here you got the Trinity in one setting here. Okay? And here's John the Baptist. You know, the guy that wears camel's fur and eats wild locust and honey. You know. He's a pretty wild dude. All right? But he's a prophet of God. Jesus said, among all the prophets, there's no greater than John the Baptist. Amen. Up all through the Old Testament. Because he was the forerunner. He was the one that was right up against the master coming. When Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, they were years apart. But here's John the Baptist, and here Jesus in the same lifespan. Amen. In the same time setting. And as he was being baptized, here's Jesus being lowered into the water. And it says, before this happened, the Lord showed John the Baptist. He says, here's how you're going to know that the Messiah is the one. He says, you're going to see a light come down from heaven upon him. And there wasn't no dove that floated out of heaven and came down and landed on Jesus, like you see in the movies. It says, like a dove, the light of God, shaft from heaven, bam, on Jesus. That's the one right there, because it wasn't happening to anybody else. He saw the Spirit of God descend upon him like a dove. And then he heard this voice from heaven that shook the heavens and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He got affirmation from heaven. God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He hasn't done one miracle yet. Now, how many of you know God's megaphone will shake the trees and the rocks and everything else? Even the fish will tremble. I'm telling you. You probably saw him jumping out of the River Jordan. Amen? And yet, the Lord does that to us today. But not like you think. Not like you think. I've never heard out of heaven the voice say, Keith, I'm so pleased with you. Boom. I mean, I've never had that happen yet. It could happen, but I've never had that happen yet. Yet, we have the witness of the Spirit on the inside of us that will speak to us, but sometimes we shut it out. We shut it out because we think, I don't know if I believe that or not. That sounds like me talking. okay? Then I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God has a voice, and He wants to communicate to you on a daily basis and let you know, son, daughter, I'm pleased with you. I love you. But right away you think, I haven't done anything yet today. I just woke up. That God is love, okay? But I've decided months ago, years ago now, to yield to that. If the Lord tells me something, I believe it. Amen? And there's on a regular basis, the Lord will tell me, He'll interrupt what I'm doing. He said, son, I just want you to know that I love you today. And I said, thank you, Lord. I'll stop in my tracks and I'll say, I appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that's all I need to get me going for the day. I don't need that cup of coffee to get me going. I got my God. I got Jesus. Woo, baby. That's all I need, you know. Amen. God loves me today. Amen. But see, you can choose to shut that off and say, you know. But the truth of the matter is, He does love you. Faults and all. He loves you right where you're at. Hallelujah. And what we have to do is not only know about the love of God, we have to believe in the love of God. And that affirmation, I'm telling you what, it'll come to us. Praise God. And so here you got John the Baptist, all right? He's the wildest prophet you've ever seen up in the time of Jesus. I mean, he is the forerunner. He says, I'm the one that prepares the way of the Lord, you know. He is the one that Isaiah was prophesying about. I'm a voice of the one in the wilderness crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Okay? And here's what's interesting, very interesting, I find, is that here you got on the Jordan River here where Jesus, that spot is still there to this day. It's still there. You can be baptized in the River Jordan. You don't have to, but you can. And why don't we just charter a plane and take everybody over? What do you say? Just go to Israel for 10 days. What do you say? Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm telling you. Never said that before, but praise God. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? And if there's ever a place I wanted to go, it's Israel. Praise God, because that's our roots, amen? But here you got John the Baptist, and you got Jesus being water baptized. He sees the Spirit of God light upon him. And then he hears from heaven the Father's voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. In one setting, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And here's John the Baptist who was there to witness this. Correct. Would that make a mark on you? Would that leave a mark on you? Man, you'd be talking about that for years. You'd be down at the barber shop. Did you hear what just happened? But just a couple of chapters later, some religious people came and they arrested John the Baptist. And they threw him in jail. They were persecuting him. And so John the Baptist had some disciples, and he sent them to Jesus to ask him this question. He said, are you the Messiah, or do we look for someone else? Now, wait a second. A couple of chapters before that, you were at the Jordan River and you saw the Holy Spirit, you heard the Father's voice, you saw Jesus. Why all of a sudden are you doubting? So you can have a supernatural experience, but a week later you forget about it. I've never had an experience quite like that, but you would think that if you had that kind of experience with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you would never have a problem doubting again. Are you with me? Yeah. But that's not the case. Because we don't live by miracles, we live by the Word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And because pressure was applied, now just stay with me here, I'm wrapping this up. Because pressure was applied to John the Baptist, he began to doubt. And that's what he said. His disciples to Jesus said, are you the Christ, or do we look for another? And one of the things that Jesus sent back, message to him, he says, blessed are they that are not offended in thee. Isn't that something? Yeah. See, John began to get, he took offense. He got offended because of the persecution. Okay? And Jesus says, blessed is he that is not offended in me. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, and blessed is he that is not offended in me. Praise God. So you can have a supernatural experience with God. Supernatural experience. Without question. But when pressure is applied to you, that's when you begin to see what you are made of. Okay? You know, it's easy to serve God when everything's going well. You got money in the bank, kids are doing well, right? Job's going good, got tons of friends. But if something or one or two things change in that, and it looks like it ain't working, it looks like the Word of God's not working. You see, the biggest lie the devil will tell people today, listen to me, the biggest lie that he will tell people today is the Word of God will not work for you. Half God said. That's what he told Eve. Do you really think God meant what he said? And he will come along with those things. Now, I have seen in my lifetime, I know better than anybody else, I have seen God move in ways in my life that were, without doubt, miracles. God moved. Healings, provision, different things through the years. But I've noticed this, that the next time I need a miracle or something to take place, there's that thought that comes to your mind was, it's not going to work this time. Okay? You all know what I'm talking about? You don't have enough faith. You don't have what it takes. In fact, every time, I'll go as far as to say this. See, we're going somewhere with this right now. I haven't diverted from my subject. We're going somewhere with this. We're exposing the spirit of fear. Because the absence of God is the presence of fear. But when God's presence is there, fear cannot stay. No fear. No fear. Well, that didn't sustain John the Baptist. Just a short time after that event took place, he was questioning, are you the Messiah or do we look for someone else? You know? And Jesus said, go back and tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and blessed is he that doesn't get offended in me. Do you know it's easy to become offended at God sometimes? And that's the worst thing that's the last person you want to become offended with is God. Amen. Can I have an amen out there?
Amen.
Okay? And we don't want to become offended at God. We need to trust God no matter what. The Bible says, I will trust in the Lord at all times. That's what David said. Trust in the Lord at all times. Say all times.
All times.
It's really important to trust God at every turn, at every situation. Some of you might be faced with some things right now that it's just been looming over you. It might be a body thing, physical thing in your body, a report that you got. It could be, you know, a relational type thing. It could be financial. It could be any number of things. But the Bible says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Paul had that revelation. He says, I'm persuaded that neither depth nor life, nor things present nor things come. He says, persecution, affliction, peril, sword, nakedness. He says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Nothing's going to separate you from God's love. All right? He went on to say, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You can read the 8th chapter of Romans. He talks about this. What shall we say to these things? What things? Persecution, trials, temptation, test, lack, peril, sword. What shall we say to these things? Hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? Look at that wallet sometime, you guys, and say, hey, if God be for me, who can be against me? Because there may not be much in there. But Paul says, what should we say to these things? So what? We got to say some things. Because both fear and faith are released through words. Praise God. What shall we say to these things? Oh God, what are we going to do? Nope, that's the wrong answer. Throw your hands up. Oh God, what are we going to do now? I'll tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to trust God. It may not make sense, but it makes faith. And you can't try to figure God out with your peanut-sized brain. I'm not criticizing you, but compared to God, you know, it's just better to trust the Lord. Let Him be the miracle worker. Let Him figure things out. He knows how to fix your family. He knows how to fix your broken family. Okay? He knows how to fix your broken wallet or bank account. He knows how to fix your broken body. He knows how to do it. He's an expert at doing that. He's been doing it a long time. Amen. He created your body. And He created your body to function with soundness and health. Amen?